Welcome to another brand new episode of Take a Shelfie, the podcast about beer and bottle shops and friendship. I'm Jeff Martin, and with me as always is my friend and co-host, Matt Prince. Matt, how are you on this fine, very warm July day?
It is very, very, I can't use the word warm. It's very hot. I mowed my lawn earlier, and I was dripping.
We sort of switched roles in that way today, because usually it's me who has freshly mown his grass when we're recording, but now you're the sucker.
Yeah, I am a sucker. I went away last week, Jeff. I was in the Poconos, and it had been 2 weeks since I had mowed my lawn, and it showed. I mean, it looked like our house was dormant. Like it looked like no one lived here. It was bad. I know, like, a lot of people's grass hasn't been, you know, haven't really been growing, but like, it was bad. And people around us do a nice job with their lawn, and I couldn't let it go on any further. So I did that, and I feel way better. It looks really nice. And, you know, it ended up being like a solid workout because I was drenched with sweat afterwards. So, hey, all good things.
What are you drinking to reward yourself for that hard manual labor this morning?
You know, I wasn't going to have a beer today because on vacation, I drank every day, which I don't do. I don't drink on weekdays. But... of course, because we're recording, I had to have something. So something a little lighter. I went with True Penny Pilsner from Allagash. It's a Belgian Pilsner. I love Allagash. I'll drink anything that they brew. But this is like the ultimate refreshing beer. Like, what a great beer to enjoy after spending a lot of time out in the heat. So, yes, this is my reward for mowing the lawn. And, you know.
I didn't know that Allagash made a Pilsner, let alone a Belgian-style Pilsner. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I mean, if you look at their whole profile of beers, you know, everything they do is kind of with a Belgian nod. I mean, I just saw that they canned up an IPA, which I was like, Allagash makes an IPA, and then I kept reading it was a Belgian IPA. So they really stick to that, you know, the Belgian beer thing. I think that's what works for them. And they just started distributing the 16-ounce cans of this beer. So I'm pretty excited about that because I'd only previously seen it in 12-ounce bottles. So I'm really looking forward to drinking. I'm going to go in for my first sip right now.
Speaking of 12-ounce bottles, I am enjoying a Summer Love from Victory, which we've talked about in the past on podcasts, making fun of the redesign. I still don't love the redesign, but I do like the beer. It's a nice beer. It really does call... you know, Matt, I just miss baseball. I miss baseball so much. And they used to sell those cans with the, you know, with the baseball player on it at the Phillies games. And I also just needed the glass bottle because I think the homebrewing club is going to figure out a way to do our interclub competition. And so I'm going to need to bottle up some of my brown ale that I brewed in January. So I need the bottles.
So, Jeff, you're drinking Summer Love, which is a seasonal beer from Victory Brewing.
Sure is.
We're seeing in the beer industry, we see less and less seasonals nowadays. You know, there used to be a lot of breweries that would pretty much only brew seasonally. I mean, everything was on a schedule.
It seems like what people are going after now is more... at least in terms of what you see at the front of the store, is the fresh IPAs and the new England style IPAs. At least that's what we see in this area. I mean, some breweries still do brew seasonally, otherwise we wouldn't have Summer Love. But I think it's not what you see heavily marketed, except for in some of those variety packs.
Right. And yeah, and you really do have to, you know, they sneak them into those variety packs. You know, you might see a summer variety pack that has mostly year-round beers, but then they might sneak in like a Summer Love with, you know, it might be snuck in there with Golden Monkey. It might be snuck in there with Prima Pilsner. It might be stuck in there with Hop Devil or Cloudwalk or some of the other Victory beers might be surrounding the summer season on the summer pack. It's kind of a way to still give a nod to them, but not, I would think it's so they don't overbrew and then they're left with a bunch of Summer Love and, you know, the consumer is looking for their fest beer. You know, you don't want to be left with it, like a big stack of seasonal beer that no one wants to drink.
I'm sort of dreaming of that variety pack that you just described. I kind of want that.
I know, right? Yeah, it sounds pretty good. I they do have something like that. I don't know if it's those exact beers, but I know that it's generally what I just said.
Let's talk about those summer beers. Let's talk about some of what we consider to be the ultimate summer beers. Let's not say the best. I mean, we're not experts by any mean. We're fans, but you know, this isn't a top 10 list. These are just each of us is going to note five beers that we find noteworthy.
Yeah, Jeff. And it took me a bit to come up with these because I really had to ask myself, what do I like to drink in the summer? And I even went back into my Untappd and looked at past summers and was like, what do I drink when the warmer months creep in? So it was kind of fun going back and seeing what I tend to enjoy. And it reminded me of some beers that I should be looking for again. So I'm pretty excited to share my five. But Jeff, why don't you lead us off? What is one beer that you really like to enjoy in the summer?
So one I wanted to put in the five spot, and again, this isn't a ranking. I just listed them that way. The five spot I wanted to mention was Dead Rise Old Bay Summer Ale from Flying Dog. And Flying Dog, I believe we've mentioned them before. They're in Maryland. And so the fact that they put Old Bay seasoning in a beer is on brand for Maryland. And I know it sounds weird. Like when you saw that beer for the first time, didn't you think that's a weird thing to put in a beer?
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, I did look at it and I don't typically look at their beer. So the fact that it even got me to look at it, it's doing its job.
Yeah. And so the Old Bay doesn't come out in like that crabby celery salt taste for me. When I'm drinking Dead Rise, I just get like a really fresh lemony-ness to it. Almost like a Rattler, but not quite a Rattler. I think that the Old Bay spice adds just a something that isn't Old Bay, but it just adds a nice refreshing quality to it. And then, of course, it's terrific to have next to you as you're breaking apart a ton of crabs, which have Old Bay on them. It's a nice compliment.
It sounds delicious. I'll have to seek that one out and give it a try. The closest I've come to that, Jeff, is having a Natty Bow with Old Bay around the rim. You know, that's been the closest I've come to a beer like that, but clearly not the same thing.
That sounds okay, too. I'd drink that. What's first on your list to mention here?
Okay, so the first beer I thought about, I'm just going to kind of go in that order. The first beer I thought of is a beer that I always look for when summer rolls around. And it's not a style that I see too often, personally. Not a lot of breweries are brewing it, but I really like the Kolsch from Lancaster Brewing Company. I'll admit that the first thing that I see when I look at this beer is the can art. It's this green can with this beautiful sun. It kind of reminds me of the sun in the CBS Sunday Morning logo. It just looks like summer to me. It just looks like a beautiful summer day. It's green and the beautiful sun, and then you crack it open and you get this like nice, refreshing, crisp, I always feel like a cold, like somewhere between a Pilsner and a light ale. It's got like a nice citrusy vibe to it. It's got a little breadiness. It's just really pleasant. And every time I have it, every time I've gone back to it since I started drinking craft beer, because that was one of the first beers I remember really enjoying, every time I revisit it, it tastes just as good.
I haven't thought about Lancaster Kolsch in years. I love that beer. That's a very good beer.
Yeah, I saw it up the street the other day at my local distributor, and I'll definitely be buying some before I head to the beach in a couple weeks.
Speaking of beach, a good beach beer that I have really only experienced at the beach or like out of a cooler, I don't think I've ever seen it in a fridge, is 21st Amendment Hella High Watermelon.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that put in somebody's fridge. It always comes out of a cooler. I've drank it poolside. I've drank it, deckside. I've never seen it in a fridge, but that's my next beer because it's a really nice wheat beer. Wheat is a great kind of beer to drink during the summer because it's not super highly carbonated. You don't get bloated while you're also hot. And then you add in the watermelon and it's super refreshing. And a lot of people have done watermelon beers over the years, but this one just continues to be super consistent and it's one that I'm always pleased to see. And I'll reach for it over any other watermelon beer, except for perhaps the watermelon wheat that my brother-in-law makes, homebrew drink. But yeah, it's a great style. It's a great style putting watermelon in a wheat beer. I'm in favor of it for the summer.
Yeah, you know, it really elicits those feelings of like a barbecue. And a lot of times at a barbecue, you know, the main food, you know, your burgers, your dogs, maybe your grilled chicken. There isn't really like a standard dessert for a barbecue. Watermelon ends up almost being the dessert a lot of the time.
And, exactly.
Which is great because you're so full on like meat and bread and corn that like you want something that's light, that's not going to take up a lot of space in your stomach. To me, when I have that Hell or High watermelon, it feels like a nice, refreshing end. And it doesn't, like you were saying about the carbonation, it doesn't make you feel like bloated. That's kind of how it feels like watermelon to me. And it always has that. It has a really distinct, sweet watermelon flavor. That is really pleasant, built on top of that wheat beer base. So, you know, when I was coming up with my list, I knew that I had to include at least one Pilsner. You know, Pilsners are so refreshing in the summer. They're great anytime beers. You know, have them at a barbecue, have them on the beach, have them in the mountains. You know, I just got back from the mountains and I was drinking some Sunshine Pils when I was there. But the Pilsner that really stuck out to me on this list, to be on this list, is from Separatist Brewing, which is out of Easton. They also have a bottle shop/bar in South Philly. And this is their house Pilsner. It's called Wooder. Now, Jeff, let's first break down this name. You know, Wooder is how us Delco folk pronounce water.
Yeah, I don't know if we've said the word water on the podcast before. I also think that you and I have bred it out of our vocabulary to say it that way, but it's definitely a Southeast Pennsylvania and Southern New Jersey way to say H2O is we say water, W-O-O-D-E-R.
Yes. So obviously when I first saw this beer, I wanted to drink a full case of it just based on the name. I mean, I wanted this to be my favorite beer of all time. You know, it's so regional, but it's a great Pilsner. And I think the first time I actually had it was, I believe with you. I think I was with you.
About a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. We went to the bar, the Separatist bar in South Philly, and we got some water. And it was really tasty. It was really good.
Today I learned that they're based out of Easton. I assumed it was just that location in South Philly.
No. They have a nice big spot in Easton. It's a really, you know, standard Pilsner, but it's crushable. It's low ABV. It is really crisp. And really, what more can you want out of a summer beer than those qualities? So that's number two on my list. Jeff, what's next for you?
My next beer is one that I discovered during the summer, obviously, but at the shore. And it is semi-related to what I'm drinking right now. It's not a Victory beer, but it is from their partners, Southern Tier in New York, and it is Hop Sun. It's a summer wheat beer, and you know, it's got some good hop character to it. And I first discovered this beer at La Costa Lounge in Sea Isle City, New Jersey. There was not inside the bar, mind you, but there was they had some sort of Southern Tier promotion there that day, and there was a truck parked outside, a food truck / Southern Tier rep truck, and he was giving you one free sample of one of their beers, and then it was like steeply discounted Southern Tier beer. And so I tried a couple of things. I think I had the 2X IPA, which is a good beer, and then I wound up with the Hop Sun, and that became my beer for the rest of that summer because it is so refreshing. It has a little bit of the hop character for, you know, your IPA fan, for your American Pale Ale fan, but it's also the wheat. And I mentioned a wheat with Hella High Watermelon. It's a great style to drink during the summer, and this is a good wheat beer.
Yeah, you know, I've never had that, Jeff. I never even heard about it until you sent me a list of your summer beers, so to make sure we didn't overlap. But it sounds perfect. I say this about a lot of these, and they're different styles, but to me, the summer beer is more of an idea. It's not a style. It's what is refreshing. What can I have a few of while I'm sitting on the deck down at the shore, or when I'm on the beach and want to still, you know, be able to enjoy my time there. You know, that's to me what a perfect summer beer is. And these all are really checking off all those boxes. So it sounds like another one that I need to go looking for before I head down the shore in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, to be honest with you, Matt, I wasn't sure that they still made the beer. I had it a couple years ago and I haven't had it in a couple years. So we started recording that last segment where I mentioned Hop Sun, and then I had to check that it still existed. So I went on Untappd and there's still people checking it in. So I didn't find it on the Southern Tier website, and that might just be my poor navigation of the mobile website. But yeah, it's still around. If you can find it, you should try it. What's your next beer?
I'm not going to apologize. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, because I'm going to mention Trogs again. And, you know,
we've given them a couple episodes off. I think it's okay. Yeah,
we personally have given them a couple episodes off. Sarah Erdlin did not give them an episode off, but Jeff and I definitely did. You know, and they're a great brewery. So if they would stop making really awesome beer, I would stop mentioning them. But they haven't stopped making really awesome beer. And what I always look forward to, I always call this my wedding day beer, because it's the first beer I drank after I got married on July 2nd, 2016. And it is Nimble Giant. This is a once a year. It's a one-off for them. And it is a double IPA. It's not hazy. It's not unfiltered. It is a beautiful, clear IPA, a lot of like grapefruit, pine, sap, citrusy rind, and honeysuckle. And to me, that's the part of the beer that, it's funny, it makes me think of my childhood, a beer making me think of my childhood, but like I always remember playing outside late at night and playing outside with my friends all day in the summer when I was a kid, and finding the honeysuckle plants. And, you know, it's a nostalgia beer for me, but it's so perfect. It doesn't overpower you with any bitterness. It's got that like honeysuckle sweetness. And it's just like a really well-rounded, summery double IPA. It's not heavy. That's the thing I like about it. That's why I made my list, because it's not heavy. You drink one and you still feel like you don't feel like it's weighing you down like a lot of the hazier double IPAs do, because whether or not they're accompanied by lactose, or whether it's just oat heavy and it just sits heavy, this one doesn't do that to you. And I really love this beer. I know you also love this beer. It's just fantastic. And I always look forward to it when the summer months come rolling in.
You know what's interesting, Matt, is the way that you described that beer, it sounds a lot, and I've had it, so I know what it's like, but it sounds a lot like Hop Slam, which mm-hmm. is a wintertime beer, which, to be honest, has sort of fallen out of favor because it's not been made consistently over the years. Like, you'll have people say, this year's Hop Slam is good, or this year's Hop Slam missed the mark, or it's friggin' June and I'm at a bar and I can't believe they have Hop Slam, which is released in February still. But Nimble Giant is consistent, if not getting better every year. And it is a very, very good summer beer. It almost beats Hop Slam at its own game.
Yeah, you know, I actually, it's funny you worded it like that. I've always thought of Nimble Giant as what Hop Slam could have been. To me, Hop Slam, something has happened to that beer over time. I don't know if it's because other beers have come out that are just better and it kind of shines a light onto what Hop Slam really is, which is it's a good IPA with honey. But Nimble Giant, to me, you can really dissect the flavors in Nimble Giant. You can really separate out the honeysuckle, the pine sap, the tropical fruit, the, you know, the grapefruit, the rind. Like, you can really taste everything. Where sometimes Hop Slam feels like you're getting a ball of some flavor, but you can't pull out what those flavors are. So I really appreciate Nimble Giant. I think if Nimble Giant had come out when Hop Slam did, we might be treating Nimble Giant the way that Hop Slam gets treated, you know, in terms of the people chase that beer. To me, Nimble Giant is just extraordinary. I put it in my top probably two or three Trogs beers, and I kind of like that it's seasonal because it's something to look forward to. And then I don't get too much of it to the point where it's still such an exciting moment every summer when that beer comes out. So that is number three on my list. Jeff.
Matt, I'm going to go off script for my next pick. I told you my picks before we started recording, but then I quickly realized that I picked three wheat beers in a row. and so I was going to mention Bell's Oberon, which is a good beer, but I'm flipping the script a little bit, and I'm going to go with Firestone Walker Easy Jack.
Ooh.
Because I don't have any IPAs on this list. You and I are both IPA fans, but it's also the type of IPA that I like. So I'm sort of answering your Nimble Giant with Easy Jack, where it's got those piney, citrusy flavors, but it's also lower ABV. It's even more drinkable than Nimble Giant, which is super drinkable on its own. But it's a super crisp IPA. It's a really delicious summertime beer, and I'm really into it. And I'm sorry to have gone off script with you on that, but I decided I needed to bring in an IPA into the mix, and I think Easy Jack is the right one to do it.
You know, Jeff, I'm so happy that you brought up Easy Jack, because Firestone Walker is a brewery that we have yet to mention on this podcast, and I always forget about them, but their beer is incredible.
It is.
Union Jack is such a great IPA. And when we talk about those standard California West Coast IPAs, you know, we think about some stuff from Sierra Nevada. We definitely think about Stone. Before they kind of fell off, you know, into oblivion, you thought of Sculpin, a grapefruit Sculpin. But they do some great West Coast IPAs, and you know, they've made their little dip. They've dipped their toes into the New England IPA with, I think they have Mind Haze is theirs. They also have a great Pilsner. They have great stouts. That's just a great brewery. So I'm really glad you mentioned them, because I feel like they needed to get mentioned here on this platform. But that's a great beer.
Of course. What's next for you?
So my fourth is not a beer. I know this is a. I know before
Matt,
everyone.
This is a beer podcast, Matt. This is a beer podcast. This better not be.
I'm not gonna hard seltzer you, Jeff. But this drink definitely belongs in this podcast, and it's a collaboration between Shaxbury Cider and Other Half Brewing. So Shaxbury makes, in my mind, the best ciders in the business, and I've had ciders from a fair amount of breweries. I mean, I think we've all had our Angry Orchard at times. When it's, you know, the perfect night for it, and it's what's in the cooler. I really enjoyed Down East cider because it's unfiltered. So for those of you who like the hazier look, that opaque look, Down East cider is your cidery to go after. But I really like Shaxbury. They make really, really interesting ciders. Different apples. I used to work in an apple orchard, so like I'm really into all the different styles of apples. But they took their Arlo, which is a really nice cider. It's very dry, which I like my ciders to be. It's very dry. And they collaborated with Other Half Brewing. And this isn't their first collaboration. They've also collaborated with Modern Times on a hopped cider. So they dry hopped it with Other Half. So they collaborate on this, and Other Half brought the hops, and Shaxbury brought the cider, and it turns out to be this really kind of like funky. It's almost like a saison, but it's funky cider that's still really refreshing. And the hop notes are just bring out the fruitiness. You know, a lot of people might think, oh, that's kind of weird. Like, what if there's like a dankness on the end of the apple? But that it's not the case. It just makes it more fruity, and it's dry and nice and a little funky. And I mean, I could see myself enjoying a ton of these, and, you know, no problem. It's just a really delicious drink. And I had to throw it on this list because I love Shaxbury cider. And I just think that they belong in the conversation, especially because this is a hopped cider.
Yeah, I mean, for the record, if you want to drink a seltzer, drink a seltzer. If you want to drink a cider, drink a cider. My joke was just that this is a beer podcast. But I think that the fact that that is a dry hop cider really adds a bit of interest. And I'm allowing it. Not that you give a damn whether I allow it or not.
I do not.
Yeah, you don't.
It's in there.
It's in there. It's in there, and I'm not going to argue with it. And the last one that I'm going to mention has summer in the name, Brooklyn Summer. It's just a great beer. I mean, I can't say it's another brewery we haven't mentioned, I think, at all on the podcast. And they make a ton of great beer. They make a great Oktoberfest. They're actually a brewery that does seasonal really well. They make the, is it called Pinner or Pinstripe? They make one that looks like the Yankees.
I think it's Pinstripe because Pinner is Oscar Blues.
Is Oscar Blues. Okay. But Brooklyn Summer is just it's a terrific beer. I really have nothing to say about it because it's not super interesting. It's just super delicious.
Yeah. You know, Garrett Oliver does some great things at Brooklyn Brewing. You know, many people don't know about Garrett. I mean, I think people know about Garrett because he makes himself very visible in the beer industry. But this guy's a James Beard Award winner for outstanding wine, beer, and spirits. You know, this guy knows what he's doing. And I've had that beer before. It's very delicious and a very fitting end to your list, Jeff.
What closes out your list, Matt?
So this is a beer I've talked about before. I think it's one of the best beers that is brewed. And you can argue with me all day if you like, or you can agree with me all day if you like. And it doesn't matter to me because my opinion will not waver. It is Allagash White. Allagash White is a great beer to have throughout the year. But to me, if you're looking for a refreshing, well-made, very flavorful, robust, yet doesn't fill you up beer, Allagash White's it.
I'm glad then that I made that change away from Oberon, because otherwise it would have been completely dominated by wheat talk. But wheat is a good thing to have during the summer. And Allagash White is a top tier wheat beer, and it's hard to argue with it. Matt, I asked our listeners, well, I asked our followers on Instagram. I don't know if they listen. I hope they do. Otherwise, they're just looking at beer pictures and getting no additional content from us for free, mind you. What their favorite summer beers were, and we got some interesting responses. Sarah Erdlin, our guest from a couple weeks ago, first she said, "Is this where I start trolling and mention a Trogs beer just to mess with you guys?" Tough luck, Sarah. We already mentioned one this episode. But she says she normally will turn her nose up at a Radler. But during the summer, it's the perfect thing to drink. Radler, Shandy, same thing. It's essentially beer mixed with some sort of aid, lemonade, gingerade. You know, it's a beer mixed with a fruit juice type beer, making the beer lighter and flavoring it with some delicious flavors. I think that's a terrific beer to have. Chris mentioned so far Mango Splash from Human Robot. I think I've only had one Human Robot beer. It was not Mango Splash, but I know Chris listens to the podcast. I'm going to bother him to find me some of that beer since he lives close to Human Robot.
Yeah, definitely. They definitely make some great fruited sours over there, so I'm looking to get my hands on one of those as well.
And then Michaela said, Whalers Brewing Rye American Pale Ale. And Matt, I looked this up. Whalers Brewing Company is in Wakefield, Rhode Island, and Rye is their American Pale Ale. At least I hope that's what she meant, because I've also seen a Whalers Rye Session IPA from a different brewing company also in Rhode Island. Hey, Rhode Island, there are beer and brewery names that have nothing to do with Wales that you probably
Jeff, I have to mention a comment that you deleted, think it was mine, when it was actually my wife. Her favorite summer beer is Pink from Yards, which I also love. It's a tart ale. It's just a lot of berries, and I've always really enjoyed that beer. But that's one of her favorites. In fact, you know, you've mentioned on the podcast that I am a huge brewery t-shirt guy. While I was actually on my at my bachelor party, we went to Yards, and instead of buying myself a shirt, I bought her a shirt, and I bought her a Yards Pink shirt, and she loves it and still wears it. So I'm pretty pumped about that.
I had Pink for the first time in a couple of years last weekend when I was with my family for my and my older brother's birthday dinner. And I had forgotten how good Pink is. It's a great beer. I don't know that it's in a similar way to the way you said Allagash is a summer beer. I think Pink is released throughout the year, but it's perfect during the summer. Back to Whalers. Do we have a hookup in Rhode Island? Can we get some beer?
I mean, it's sounding that way. I mean, it's sounding like we can get some beer from Rhode Island. I know that Michaela and her boyfriend Mark both really like beer, and her dad really likes beer. So I think we have a hookup.
I'm not telling people to send us beer, but I'm not telling people not to send us beer, especially if they know you and where you live and can send you beer.
Yeah, and by all means, if you are a listener and there's a beer you think we have to have and you want to help out your local brewery by giving them some exposure, send it our way. We'll drink it. We'll talk about it. We'll find a way to work it into an episode. So if that's something that interests you, if there's a brewery out there that you think we need to know about, you know, we are not against drinking beer that is free and sent to us.
Exactly. If you're looking for ways to interact with us that don't involve sending us beer across state lines, which is now legal in Pennsylvania, thank you very much. You can interact with us on Instagram, as these people did, at Shelfie Podcast. I hope to start finding more ways to incorporate you guys into the podcast by asking your opinion on things. You can also give us your opinion by visiting shelfiepodcast.com, where we post full episodes, and that is where you can leave us a comment on each episode page. Tell us what you thought. You can get Take a Shelfie wherever you get fine podcasts, Apple, Spotify, anywhere where you download a podcast, you'll be able to find Take a Shelfie. In the meantime, until next week, I'm Jeff Martin.
And I'm Matt Prince.
Cheers.